Guys, I just had Amanda Lynn Mayhew on the show, and she is a hunter. She is freaking awesome. Okay, she's a beast. She is unbelievable. She has a TV series called That Hunting Girl in Canada. And I've been watching it on YouTube. It is so much fun. She's so much fun. I love that she talks about hunting and what it means and how she teaches women and children. And she also does some men and going on all these adventures to Africa and Mexico and all these places. Listen, if you are even little slightly bit interested in a different perspective and to see how it is she's gone out here as a woman to do this hunting and how the industry for women is growing, this is the episode for you. You need to check this out. Let's do this. Let's do it. You're going to love it. What's up, y'all? This is Nina Perez, and this is Straight Talk, No Sugar Added. And you know I go around this freaking awesome planet of ours finding the best humans I can find to come on here to grow, challenge, and transform your thinking. I want to thank you so much for hanging out. Over 100,000 downloads. That's all because of you. So make sure you like, share, subscribe, all that, because we are really trying to reach as many people as we can to just really show people that there is so much good in the world and people who are really doing great things. Well, I got somebody for y'all, okay? Amanda Lynn Mayhew, she is a leading advocate for women and children in hunting. Yeah, you heard me right, y'all. Hunting, okay? I got the girl here. I never had a hunting conversation before, and I'm super excited to have it. Now, she is hailing from Northern Ontario, and Amanda is not only just like a top female hunter, but she's also the founder of Just Hunt Inc., okay? I'm like stuttering over my words because I'm so excited to have her here. Now, her passion for the outdoors combined with her inspirational speaking, her advocacy work, she has a TV series called That Hunting Girl. I've been watching it on YouTube. It is so funny and so cute. She's going fishing. She's doing like all these fun things, but she's so real about it. And I love that. Now, she is a role model for the outdoor industry, and I'm really happy to have her here. And I love that she has the angle that she has with helping women, children, and men, and really like learning more about the hunting space. So Amanda, welcome to Straight Talk. I'm so glad to have you here. How are you?
I'm good. This is exciting. I love Texas, by the way. I always go to Texas, but it's not for hunting. I've never hunted in Texas.
I guess it's time to come down and check it out. We have a lot of stuff running around here. I don't know. I've never done hunting, but you know what? I have family who has. I have brothers who go hunting. And, you know, they fill up their fridges for the year, right? So their freezers for the year, which is pretty freaking awesome. So Amanda, I know I have a lot of great people that listen to the show, so I want them to get to know you. So tell us more about you. Tell us about you.
Oh boy.
Who are you?
Okay. My name's Amanda. I was born and raised in Northern Ontario, hunting and fishing, grew up doing it with my dad and raised my boys the same way. I really honestly thought that was how that everybody did it. And it wasn't until I moved to Southern Ontario that I realized that's not all people did. And so therefore I was recognized as a woman in the outdoors, and I started helping other people get into the outdoors. And it was just something that was supernatural to me. I'm very nurturing and caring as a mom. And so it was just like, it's kind of the same role. So you're educating and you're teaching, and I don't know everything, but the things that I know I got to pass down to the next generation. Or even in the last couple of years, I've had so many clients or friends or individuals that are male, female, between the ages of 30 and 60 that have never been hunting before. So to be able to take these people out and just kind of show them the ropes and get their foot on the ground and get started in order for them to pass it down to their families and children. I mean, it's healthy in so many different ways, in all ways. Like, I love to eat. That's the biggest reason why I hunt and fish. And then you're outside. Like, outside is incredible. And you never know what's going to happen. You could be in the outdoors you know, every day is a new day and every day something different can happen and it's never predictable.
Right. That's so cool, right? That's like a fantastic way to grow up because it's a whole different angle, right, than most people. To be able to grow up hunting and fishing and all of that. And, you know, some people who are not educated in this space, this can be a really great thing for them to learn. I think it's important for us to learn that actually. So I was reading also like you also do some work with like teaching about firearms and things like that. Is that correct? Do I have that right?
Yeah. So I actually created an event back in 2011 called Women's Range Day because there were people coming to me and asking me to teach them about firearms and they were women and they didn't want to go to their boyfriends or their husbands because I'm sorry to say this, but the majority of men do not make it comfortable to teach their women how to shoot guns. And so like they're either hot shots or they know everything or they, you know, they get frustrated with you. It's just like, it's just a very intimidating situation. I've seen it first off, you know, myself for many years. I even used to go shooting with like my guy friends. And the guys would like tease the other guys that couldn't shoot. And that's like so not cool. We don't want to
Right.
We want you to shoot healthy. Right. We want you to be, you know, comfortable with your firearms in a safe environment. And we want you to know and feel comfortable with what you're doing. So, yeah.
Yeah, I love that. When I was reading that, you know, that was really like close to my heart because that's something that I want to get more into is my firearms. I have firearms. I go shooting at the range with my husband, but I want to get better at it. I want to get more comfortable with it. You know, coming from a place of trauma, right? I had trauma because I almost was killed by a gun from my ex, you know, from domestic violence, that actually had pushed me away from guns for a very, very long time. And I'm the type of person that when I'm afraid of something, I like doing it anyway. And so these were one of those things that, this was the one thing that like, I was super afraid of. And then I was finally like, honey, you know what? I just want to learn because it's not the gun that was going to hurt me. It was the person. Exactly. And once I got that in my head and I understood that, now I have a couple of ARs, I have a 9, I have a 22, I have like all this stuff. My husband's like, boy, my husband's like, you have transformed. I'm like, because I love this stuff now. So I love that you're doing that. I love, love, love that you're doing that. I think women need to be empowered in that space, right? And hunting too, right? I mean, Amanda, you must be really showing people a whole different angle here, especially when it comes to the hunting, because I don't know that many women hunters. What is the percentage? Do you know what the percentage is? It must be low.
You know what? It used to be. But where I grew up, I guess so. See, I assumed everyone did it when I was growing up and right. I was way wrong. And I mean, there are a lot of female hunters and it's increasing every year. I put on these programs and I get girls that have hunted before and then I get girls that have never hunted before. And I've been doing it since 2017. I've been doing it my whole life, but as a program since 2017, I would say 20 years ago, it might've been like 30-70 women versus men. And now I would say we're pretty even.
Oh, like, wow. Okay.
When I do the trade shows and stuff like that, like I get a fair amount of women that are like, hey, I've gone hunting or, hey, I want to do more hunting. And they're not in the spot like the men are, you know what I mean?
Right.
Men
have
had hunting and TV shows for like 20, 35 years.
Right.
Women, like I was one of the first shows in Canada, but you have, you know, Melissa Bachman in the States and Christy Titus, and you have all these amazing female hunters that are out there and they're in turn also inspiring more hunters. So it's getting up there.
No, that's good. That's awesome. And, you know, I think it's something that is a place where I think most women or most of us, I shouldn't say all women, but most women don't really think about, right? Like this is stuff that I think that this can show you like, okay, so let me back up. I was listening to you on Jeff Lopes Inc., right? Jeff Lopes, by the way, if anybody doesn't hear his podcast, you really need to. It's freaking awesome. So
yes.
I heard you say, and I was like so impressed with you. I heard you say, because he asked you the question, do you take your shot or your kill to the butcher to get, you know, to get cut up for you and all? And you're like, no, I do my own. I'm like, okay. Let you find out, okay, Amanda? I freaking love that. So for those of us who don't understand the hunting world, right, especially for maybe people who have the wrong idea about what hunting is, what would you say to that person to kind of help them open up their mind a little bit to hunting or what hunting means? Because I think that there's so much noise out there, Amanda, about that kind of stuff, right? So you have the naysayers and then you have the people who are pro for it. But if you wanted to talk to someone who's listening, who maybe thought about it, but doesn't know if it's the right thing, is it ethical, blah, 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 whatever, what would you say to them?
Oh boy, I could say a lot. First of all, I like to eat. I like to know where my meat comes from. I live on a farm. I have dogs.
Oh, you live on a farm. That's awesome.
So I'm getting my meat. We never buy meat from the grocery store. We haven't in a very long time. And so we raise the animals here on the farm. And what we don't raise on the farm, we hunt. Now, if you're going to go to the grocery store and buy meat, that meat is, for the most part, coming from a slaughterhouse. So the animals are raised in a small quarters and then slaughtered and then brought to the grocery store. Swamps living their best lives and taken with, for the most part, one ethical shot. And then nothing goes to waste. The hides don't go to waste. The fat doesn't go to waste. The meat doesn't go to waste. The bones don't go to waste. When you are shopping at the grocery store, what do you think happens to all of that stuff?
Right.
You don't even know. And how many times can you go to a grocery store and buy something and it gets recalled?
Right.
That's scary. Mm-hmm. That is very scary. So if you like meat, then you can purchase meat from farm-raised animals, from farmers in different areas all over the world. You can take up. That's what I think.
Yeah. Oh, sorry. You froze for a second. Yeah. I think I know. you know what? That's really good. In fact, my husband and I have been talking about that because I said to him, you know what? I want to go to a local farmer. We just moved to Texas, right? So there's farms near us. I'm like, we need to go to a farm. We need to go get a half a cow or a whole cow, get it butchered, and just fill up our freezer, and we'll know where our meat is coming from. One of the scariest things is the painting that they do in the supermarkets. You know, they paint the meat so that it looks fresh when it's not, right? And so, and you also know when you're not getting good quality meat, because when you cook it, it is a whole different feel than a meat that you get from a farm. And so I'm glad that you do that. So you're also farming, which is great. So, because those are two different things, right? So hunting, farming are two different things. Do you hunt often? Do you hunt seasonally? How does that work?
Last year, I spent 257 days hunting.
Ooh, okay. All right.
Yeah. So I go all over the world. I'm starting to go all over the world, but I've been essentially mostly hunting Canada, but I have done it in the States a few times. And I've been to Africa once. I'm going to New Zealand in June, and then I'm going back to Africa in August. So, and we get to eat the meat that's over there as well, but you have to hunt it in order to eat it. So
right.
You can't just like go to Africa and stop at the store and buy a kudu and have a steak. Like it doesn't work that way. So, and farming. So I am not, what PETA would call like a bad person or whatever, or hate animals. We have dogs. We love animals.
Right.
And we have sheep, and I have a turkey that lays eggs, and I eat her eggs. So I don't actually eat her. So like every animal has a purpose, right? And it's not that we're animal killers. It's that we like to eat and we have a big family and we want to make sure everyone's provided for.
I'm glad you said that too, right? Because that's what I'm talking about with the misconception, right? That people just think, oh, they just want to kill something. That's not it at all. And my brother told me that too. My brother's like, she's like, come on, I don't go around killing people or anything like that. This is a kill that I strategically go out for. It is the kill that I then bring it home. I bleed it. I cut it up, whatever. And he goes, and my family eats for a year, you know, and he's doing it as ethically as he possibly could. Yeah. He's doing it ethically. He's packing it up. He's respecting the animal. He's using all the parts, just like you are saying, Amanda. And this is this is the hypocrisy, right? The hypocrisy is Amanda's wrong for going to go hunting, but yet we go to the supermarket and buy a packaged meat that we don't even know what animal that came from, how that animal was treated, you know, where the rest of, like, to your point, where the rest of it is, right? All of the fat, the skin, the meat, the whatever. And, you know, it's like, guys, just because you're not out there hunting, it doesn't mean you're not also doing the same thing in a different way. And I think sometimes in a worse way, because to your point, I did a whole, my whole thesis was on the meat industry. And I couldn't believe what I was seeing with my own eyes of the treatment of animals in these big slaughterhouses, in these big farms, in these big, you know, they're not farms. They're just, I don't know what they are, but yeah. And so I respect what you're doing. And it's funny because I was ignorant, right? So before my brother was telling me about hunting, I was very ignorant to it. So I was like, oh, that's mean. You're killing an animal. Oh my God. That's, as I'm eating my steak and chicken, that's so mean. That's so mean. It's so funny. But you know, that's just the, you know, the ignorance, right? That, of not knowing. You just don't know what you don't know, you know? So Amanda, so tell me how you're getting into this now, teaching children and teaching women and stuff like that. How do you do that? What does that look like? What does a program like that look like when somebody says, you know what, I love what she's talking about and I want to learn more? Are you also teaching farming as well, or is it more the hunting? Tell me about that.
I only have so much time in a day.
Right. Exactly.
So hunting, so it depends on what the person is after. So if they're a brand new hunter, I mean, I started with take me hunting grouse. So I can take five girls and we just go bird hunting. We walk, we talk, we socialize, we have fun. It's Friday, Saturday, Sunday. There's a hot tub, there's a lodge, a cabin. You know, we go to the sand pit, we shoot the guns, I see how you carry them. I watch you pick up your shell after you shoot. We hunt some birds, you clean them, you cook them, or you can take them home. Wow. And it is like a full on hunt camp. If you don't want to do birds, then we have a deer camp and it's essentially the same thing. Bow hunting, deer camp. I usually take 3 to 4 girls, set them up. We have box blinds, we have tree stands. I will sit with the newest person, like one that is the greenest. And deer, and it was an 8-point buck in the first 2 hours of the morning. Oh my God. Like she has a lot to live up to now. There's a 12-year-old boy that asked me 6 years ago to take him bear hunting and teach him about bear hunting. And I did. He shot his first bear at 13. We couldn't find it. It wasn't a fatal shot. We went back when he was 14. He shot the same bear. We found the bullet in the hide when we were cleaning it out. Yes. Now he's 17 years old. He's guiding, he's doing his own bear baiting, he's taking other people out. It just shows how that when you teach someone, it rolls forward and it goes into the next person. And so there's so many different ways of introducing people to the outdoors or introducing them to, maybe they've only deer hunted and they've never bear hunted before. Or maybe they've only bird hunted and they never deer hunted before. So there's always something. And now I've created my own bow hunting camp in Africa. So wow. If you want to retreat and take all the guessing out of it, you come with me to Africa. We film a show. We harvest some animals. We eat like kings. And right down to fishing. We have a retreat in Mexico that we started last year as well.
So cool.
Yeah. So it's an opportunity for you to travel, even if it's to a different part of the province. Even if it's to the States, even if it's across the world, it's a chance for you to come out and have an adventure of a lifetime and for it to be produced as an episode on national television. So it kind of, and it builds your confidence and it allows you to inspire other people and just keep growing our network in the firearms industry, archery, in fishing, in hunting, in all aspects of it, no matter what gender or age you are, or even if you have any sort of medical ailments. I'm actually taking this gentleman on his final hunt at the end of September. I could help him mobility, cardiac issues. And part of the Take Me Hunting program that I have, the money's raised through our different fundraising events, helps me get to these people and be able to take them out on like their last journey kind of thing. So I have 3 of those this year.
Wow. Wow. And that's powerful.
And that's one of my favorite things is being able, like people go, oh, I can't go hunting because I have whatever cancer. And I'm like, oh, whatever. I have Graves disease and like 18 other ailments and I go hunting. So you can do it too. Right. Let's go.
That's funny. I have Graves disease too. That's so funny. Yeah. Yeah, I do. I have Graves disease. I have Sjogren's. Forget about it. But anyway, I love that. I love that you're doing that, right? Because I think the reason I really wanted to also speak with you is because of the education piece of this, right? I think we need to be educated. Like, we need to stop. We just need to stop assuming things that we don't know about, right? I have a friend of mine who also had his own TV show, and his Fowler, his name was Fowler. His father used to be the one that used to do Omaha something, Wildlife Kingdom in Omaha, whatever. He was very well known, very famous for his, you know, like going around the whole world for animals and stuff like that. So, and he always talks to us about, you know, when we used to have conversation, he was always talking about the respect of the animal and all of this stuff. So now he fights wildlife trafficking in Africa and in different places, you know. So when you go to, yeah, I know, isn't that cool? So when you do all of this, what is your golden, do you have a golden rule or a rule that you have that's the rule you live by when it comes to hunting?
You're going to eat what you shoot. Mm. And I don't know. Like, I have a lot of rules. carrying your firearm safely is like the biggest one. And then if you're going to pull the trigger, make sure it's the proper shot. And if you harvest that animal, you're eating it. You're not leaving it in the bush.
So when people go to do this with you, women who have never done this before or kids or whatever, what is it that you try to prepare them for that feeling? Because I'm sure that there's a feeling that comes with shooting your first animal, right? Whether it's you feel bad, whether it's you feel excited, like, you know, how do you prepare them for that?
You can't, because everyone is going to react differently.
Right.
So, I mean, I have some girls that like will instantly cry. You know what I do? I do get them to either call their husband or their father after they have taken the shot. And then that way their emotion, it's like, it's immediate, because after every animal that I ever harvested, I would call my dad. No matter where I was in the world, I would call my dad and I would tell him, and he would be so proud, and it's a huge impact. So when somebody harvests an animal now, whether it's a child, a woman, a man, or whatever, I get them to call their spouse, their father, whoever. And that allows that emotion to be much more intimate or personal, and not just like the stranger they just met. You know what I mean?
Right. Right.
So, and it's, so I do tell them, I say, okay, so if you harvest an animal, like this is how it's going to play out. You're going to, you know, who would be your number one call? 'Cause we're going to call them. Yeah. And sometimes people cry at, like, I had that 12-year-old that I told you about. He shot his bear and he literally jumped up in the tree stand and was like dancing. So about everything from dancing in a tree stand to crying on the ground. And you can't prepare anybody for that, because everyone's different.
Right, right. I was just wondering, because I'm like, you know, thinking if I ever call you, Amanda, and say, I want to go try this hunting thing, you know, like, what is the preparation for that, right? Because I would think that, I mean, I remember I'm a chef by trade, right? So I remember when I had to kill my first lobster, right? Putting the knife between the head and pulling it down. And I felt almost sick to my stomach. You know what I'm saying? Like, I felt terrible that I was killing this. I mean, I enjoyed them with butter later, but I really felt bad at that
moment. And you know, there's nothing that you can do. Like, I mean, there's been predicaments where people have had an animal in front of them and they didn't pull the trigger, and that's
okay.
Yeah. So yeah. Maybe it just wasn't their time, you know, like,
right, right.
You can't predict what's going to happen. You can't, you don't know how someone's going to react. They might be like, oh, I'm going to go out there and I'm going to shoot the first animal I see. They get out there and they're like,
they can't,
you know, they may not even know. So it's just, you just go out there and you deal with what happens.
Yeah, I think you did, but it's all good. So when they see an animal, they don't, you know, shoot it, whatever. 'Cause I don't know how hunting is, but I know my brother, we used to be out there for days. So it could be days, right? Before you even get an animal, correct?
Correct. And you could be, you know, hiking for days and sleeping under the stars. And so it's more than just the harvest of the animal. Going hunting is about the adventure, the camaraderie, being outdoors and learning about the outdoors, different trees and grasses, herbs, the ground, you know.
Wow.
Maybe you're not maybe you're not harvesting the target animal, but you're seeing other wildlife, birds, and, you know, flies, and your adventure isn't pulling the trigger or letting the arrow go and your animal falls over. That's not your adventure. That's the bonus. That's the outcome. That's the goal. Yeah.
Right. Oh, see, I love that. I just love that you're expanding our mind in the way we think about this, because it is a lot more than that. It's not like Amanda just goes, yeah, I'm going to go kill an animal. And she just walks out of her house to kill every animal in sight. That is not how this works.
You see me sound like Rambo.
I think that's everybody's perception, right? Some like hefty guy with a big beard out there, you know, just hunting every animal in sight. That's so funny. So,
oh God, that's funny.
So if anybody's listening to the show, and I'm sure that people are listening and are like truly interested, Amanda, like I know that you are in Ontario, you're in Canada, right? And so how do people get to work with you? Like, so give us that. Like, how do people reach you, get to work with you, follow you, all of that kind of stuff? Because I think that, you know, for all of us, I think this is just my opinion, but I think this is something we should all like do, even if it's just one time, you know, because, you know, so a lot of times we're very ignorant to this stuff. So I think even if we could just do this one time, you know, we can get that sense or that feeling or that thought out of our mind and actually try something, you know. So how do people get in contact with you to do all of these amazing adventures you got going on?
Super easy, justhunt.ca. And that will take you to all the social media links, from Patreon to TikTok to Instagram to Facebook. It will, you can watch all the old episodes under That Hunting Girl in episodes. You can read articles. You can book a hunt. You can even, under book a hunt, it will show you. You can come to Mexico, Africa, Florida. There's all kinds of things to do. Everything is right there on justhunt.ca. And you can email me right from there as well, or Facebook message me, or Instagram message me, or anything, message me. I'm not trying to get old.
So, and this is literally for anybody who's listening, whether they are, you know, somebody who hunts all the time or somebody who's never hunted, right?
Correct. And we've, like I said, we produce it for national television. So you have a document, a recording of your adventure as well, which is, you know, something that's even more cool.
That is cool. That's so awesome. Thank you so much, Amanda, for coming on and sharing this different perspective, having fun with me, laughing along the way. I love it. I really am grateful that you took the time to be on the show. Thank you so much for doing that.
I'm so excited that you invited me to be on the show, because this is my first podcast with a female host.
Ah, yes. So you're my first person to talk about hunting. I'm your first female host. There we go. We're both on the first. I love it. This was really fun. Thank you. Really. Guys, thank you so much for hanging out with us. I knew you were going to love Amanda. I love her. I'm going to make sure I keep following her. I was already subscribed to her show on YouTube. I have, you know, I'll follow her on LinkedIn and all that great stuff, because I love what she's putting out in the world. And when you can put something out in the world to grow, challenge, and transform somebody's thinking, that is the type of human being I want in my circle. So guys, make sure that you like, share, subscribe, and all of that great stuff. I'm going to link all of Amanda's information below. I want to make sure that you guys have a way to access her, to speak with her, and to go reach out, because this is so much fun. And I honestly, she's put a bug in my ear, because now I'm like, damn, I'm going to have to go with Amanda somewhere to shoot something. I don't know what. All right, guys, thank you guys for hanging out. This is Nina Perez, Straight Talk, No Sugar Added. Until next time.